Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Move to another level, all kinds of things. So he's a real good challenger, but he's also an encourager. So come on up here, Rex. We'll turn it over. We'll turn it over to you.
And my wife.
Hey, they didn't give you, he's not going to use the... Okay,
I'm just going to use this if I can, because then we have this microphone
right
here.
It's real easy to turn him off. You know,
it is. It is. That's right. So if I'm not done, I heard.
I said 1:15.
I did, and you hit the mark. I heard that this is kind of typical public speaking, which the idea is I speak, you listen, and hopefully we all finish at the same time. But I'm sort of aware that at 11:45. It's the right time. So you have all permission, in fact, probably instruction at 11:45 to just do something other than sit and listen to my wife and me. It is a delight to be here. We love you. We love this fellowship. We certainly love Pastor Doug and Tasha. And it is just a delight to be in this part of the country with you at this particular time. So it's a thrill to be able to share with you the wise and the wonderful. And that old thing, you know, that's optional. You know, aging is not optional. It isn't. It's just a kind of part of the package. But growing old. Now, that's a good thing. That growing is the big deal. Some people just get old. In fact, I've met some people in my travels that are 35 and they're really old. Seriously, I look at them and just the way they act and think and move and talk, and you think, how old are you, really? And they tell you they're in their like early 30s, and it's wow. What happened to you? What happened to you? But then every now and then, the beauty is that you encounter people like this who have zeal and have a fire from the Lord and a love for the Lord and a continuing passion that doesn't have to pass away. Thank God that we don't have to lose our passion for Christ as we age. Maybe I should say that again. Just in case you're not aware of this, it is not required that we lose our passion for Christ as we age. In fact, we're supposed to be getting stronger and richer and deeper and fuller and more aware and more in touch with His reality. And even though we can't maybe just jump in and do all of the things physically that we once could do, we can certainly speak to them. We can certainly pray for them. We can certainly encourage their development and, in fact, participate in their development. I really believe, let me say it just straight up for you, I believe that God's greatest work for the church, the greatest days of the church, of the Lord Jesus Christ, are not its first days. They are its last days. I really believe that the greatest work that the Lord intends to do through the church and through our lives are not behind us. They are actually yet ahead of us. Love to get somebody just kind of at least, you know, you don't have to amen. It'll help me to go along a little quicker, but you'll get that. You'll figure that out. If you amen this guy, he'll just keep going. But no, I really believe that. It's not just something to say. I really believe that the greatest days, the days of the greatest works of the Lord Jesus Christ through His church are going to be the last days. That the Bible forecasts that. It's in the Word. And so I just want to share that with you today, because part of what my wife and I have come to realize is that we, church people and people in general, have fallen in love with great and spectacular and amazing and wonderful. And they underplay good. There's a whole set of commercials out there about it. It's just okay. You've seen the commercial. Have you ever worked with Dr. What's his name? Oh yeah, he's okay. Just okay. Your tattoo, it'll be okay. Stay in your lane, bro. Have you seen the commercials? We don't buy okay. We don't sell okay. We want great, we want amazing, we want wonderful. And so when we read scriptures like I'm about to read to you, Chris, would you get me my Bible there? I want to read a scripture to you. I need to get back to the mic for the taping purposes or whatever. But I want to read to you a scripture about Peter describing Jesus' ministry. And it's in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38. He is describing the ministry of Christ to these completely unsaved individuals. They were Gentile individuals. He had never, as a Jew, had never preached to Gentiles. And God set him up for this. You know how the story goes in this particular one. But he was describing the ministry of Jesus, and here's what he said in verse 38 of Acts 10. This is how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So anointing, Holy Spirit empowerment, was given to him to do something. And with this, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And typically, when we read that scripture, we get so excited about the idea of healing all who were oppressed of the devil, of just seeing God do these amazing, miraculous things. When we read the ministry of Jesus, we tend to jump to the big, high, great, massive moments. And we tend to make so little of or do so little study of the immense amount of good that he did. Let me remind you that this scripture says he didn't set about to heal everybody who was sick. He set about to do good. He went about doing good. So I just want to speak a word or two in praise of good. In praise of good and the good works that God has ordained for us to do. We're pretty clear in the Assemblies of God because of the scriptures and what it says in Ephesians Chapter 2, I'll just remind you, it says that by grace you're saved through faith. It's not from yourself. It's not of works so that no one can boast. It is the gift of God, not works, so that no one can boast. And we're clear about that. This business of doing good works doesn't save us. It's not to recommend us to God, but the people who are created of God are created for a purpose. And the purpose is good works. That's what it says. Let me read to you. Verse 8 and 9, we all know. We quote those. Verse 10 is kind of attached. And it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which the Father has ordained that we walk in them. Didn't you love that verse? I mean, how many of you, that's not one that you typically quote out very much. But that's the reality. We are God's work. We are his workmanship. We're literally, it's a poema word. It's an interesting word. We're his artistry. We're his poem. We're his poetry. We're his crafting, his beautiful artwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. This is the goal of every true believer in Christ, to do the good work that God has put into us. Not the great, the amazing, the wonderful, I'm saving up all my stuff for the big moment. And you're going to miss a million little ones when you could just do good if that was in your heart. See, I believe that the goal of God's work in us is to do good works. In fact, it's not just the goal, it's the glory that God gives to us. Let me get this to you. The Father has preordained that we walk in good works. Now, this should be really good news to you, because here's what it's actually saying. It's God has created us to do these good. What happened behind me? Okay. I saw something really cool that happened, and everybody went, oh. I don't get that reaction. Children do. Anyway, God has ordained that we walk in these good works. So here's the ticket. He's not just saying, here, just go make it up on your own. Just go figure it out how to do good works. Just make yourself a huge laundry list. Now, my wife is going to come in a few minutes. We're going to talk about some things that can really specific kind of areas where you can begin to actually hone in what the scripture says about how we can do these good works and to whom and for whom we can do these good works. But here's the ticket. The goal of God is that we do good works that he's already set the stage for us to do. You've got to get this. He's preordained that we walk in them. If you could just picture it this way, God is the director of this giant play that is unfolding in Lake Worth today. And starring in the play are you and me. in the name of Jesus, connected to Christ. We are a part of Vision Church. We are a part of the kingdom of God. We are a part of the body of Christ. Christ is in us. We're in Christ. And everywhere we move, we go about doing the good that He has ordained for us to do. He sets the stage. All you have to do is, you don't have to write the script. He's already written the script. He's already set the stage. He's prepared in advance these things for us to enter into. What you have to do is be sensitive to the cues. Know when it's your moment. Know when it's your time. When you get to, go on. Amen. When you get to serve someone, when you get to step up and do an act of kindness, when you get to encourage somebody, when you get to stop, when everybody else is sort of passing by this person who seems to be just struggling with something, and you just stop to ask, you know, can I help? You know, I mean, what would be good for that person? Oh, getting saved, getting healed, getting delivered from everything. Yeah, but right now it'd probably be good to be able to get this bag out of the car. Or this thing that they're struggling with. To fix the tire. To you know, whatever. the poor girl who can't bake anything. Now, I know you guys can bake because I've been over to the table. But seriously, you get in some places and it's just like, people are coming. Show them how. Really? Make a cake. Take a cake. I'm getting poetic here. Make a cake, take a cake, bake a cake. Anyway, seriously, what would that be? That would be miraculous. No. But it'd be good. It'd be good. It'd be relieving. It might actually be life-saving because it is in the context of Jesus going about doing good that God helped him also to heal those who were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because he took the time to talk. He took the time to ask. He took the time to care. How long has this been going on in your world? It must be difficult to have to deal with some of these kind of things. That's more often how Jesus edged his way into the miracle moments. He didn't come to the well and just announce himself and do all of these kind of things with a poor woman. He didn't at all. In John chapter 4, he just asked her for a drink. He just began to engage her in a conversation. And that in and of itself was a pretty amazingly good thing. I'm honoring the fact that you're here, that you have some dignity, that you have some worth. I violated all the laws of Judaism to speak with this person. And he doesn't say all of that. He doesn't even lead with all of that. He just asked for a drink. And he offers her water that would she could drink and never thirst again. You know, just kind of, he's just doing good. He's just being kind. And honestly, I just think common kindness is so available to us. There may be moments, God give us moments where miracles break forth and powerful, amazing things happen. But for every moment of miracle, there are days and days and days and maybe even decades of doing good that we could fill the time with, that we could do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. My wife's going to come talk to you about some of that as well, because we do tag team stuff like this. She's the Speaker of the House, by the way.
That's true. There's an interesting story in Acts chapter 9, and I'm sure all of you know it. It is the story of Tabitha, which is in another language, Dorcas. You all know her story. It's Acts 9, 36 to 42, and I'm just going to go through that, read it. Now, there was in Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. And this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and she died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydia was nigh unto Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. So Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And Peter put them all forth, said to leave, and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and he lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and the widows, he presented her alive.
Wow.
It's quite a story on there, and we all sometimes concentrate on the fact that she was raised from the dead. And this wasn't Jesus, this was Peter, just merely praying and calling her name out. But I think today it's important for us to concentrate on verse 36. In her death there was a miracle, but I believe in her life there was a miracle too. For this to be said of her, this woman was full of good works. The NIV said she was always doing good on there. There was in that story widows wearing garments that she had made that were weeping. And I don't think that they went out and got garments that she had given to someone else. I think that she had given them to them. And they were there saying, oh, you know, what a loss.
Yeah.
She was good. She was good to us on there. And I think, as Rex said, there are times when we concentrate on the great. This is a miracle. Her life held a miracle. She was raised from the dead. But she was always doing good. Yeah. What an amazing thing to be said of us. Sometimes we get to the point of concentrating on the verse, we're saved by grace, not by works, and we do forget that next verse that says we were created to do good works.
Yeah.
That is not something that we should not be doing. And sometimes we fall into the habit of saying, well, I can't do this and I can't do that, and if only I had this gifting, then I would. You know, I'm guilty of saying it myself from time to time. But I remember a quote that I believe it was attributed to Mother Teresa, who said, you know, I may not do great things, but I can do small things with great love. How important is it for us to actually do something? Not to, oh, thank God I'm saved by grace, I'm going to sit in my chair and just praise God forever I'm here. But there are things that each one of you can do. How wonderful to be recognized. They'll know we're Christians by our love.
Yeah.
Is it our speech only? I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Or is it by something that maybe we do? They'll know we're Christians by our love. Here's a copy of the four spiritual laws, and here's a pathway to salvation. God bless you. Not necessarily how it works. If someone is thirsty, give him something to drink. And actually, that verse says, if your enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink. Are you just going to be nice and good to those who can reciprocate? Are you just going to be good and do good to those who run in your circle and this is fine? Or shall we take on the verse that says, do good to your enemies, and by doing this you will heap coals of fire on their head? Oh, I don't have any enemies. I don't have any enemies. First of all, be thankful that no one has bullied you or said whatever to you, because there are people who live that way. And that's a difficult thing, to be nice to someone who has done something not so nice. But it is what Jesus says to do. I am going to do what he said. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify God who is in heaven. Wow. Maybe maybe it's time for us to reach out and do something. I can do something. Have I mentioned to you that Tabitha's sewing was mentioned in the Bible? Right next to the miracle. This is something that she could do. I know some of you can bake. I am so excited to get to taste some of this stuff. We work with international pastors, and a few weeks ago we had a gathering at the district office with about 65 different leaders from about 11 different countries. So exciting. And we knew that we needed a few things in setting that up, and one of the churches that works with us, I said, do you think I could get a couple desserts for that? Oh, sure. We'll send six desserts. We'll bring them down to you. No problem on that. Oh, that was doing good. How did that bless not just your own little group, but other people? Someone also said to us in praying for that particular gathering, you know what? I want to give a little bit of money so that everybody that's there can have something to take home, something tangible. Well, that's right near and dear to my heart, because I believe that is something we should show and do. But somehow, God put on this person's heart, here's what I want to do. Here's what I can do. I can't bake, so I'm not going to do that. But I want everybody not only to go away with this sense of community that we've had, but to take something tangible to remind me that I was there and that there are people who love me. So what is it that you can do? There are so many things that we sometimes go, that's nothing on there. But what has God put in your heart? What can you do? Sometimes something that comes from a bad situation can be taken and turned into doing something good. I was shopping some time ago, and someone came by me with a cart full to overflowing of stuffed animals. And just in engaging a bit of conversation, I said, are they giving these away today? And she stopped to tell me this story that a friend of hers had a child that had died several years before. And every year on that child's birthday, they took as many stuffed animals as they could to the children's hospital, filled up several vans, as many as they could, to take this situation and turn it into a blessing for so many other people. How can we do that? How can we take a situation that has destroyed us and say, God, you have given me this information. I have now something to give. I want to be always doing good, even if it encompasses something that was no fun in my life. So I think it's good for all of us to re-examine. I'm not done blessing people. I want it to be said of my life, they always were doing good.
I really believe. Are you kind of getting the message here that the opportunities for us to do good are just, they're never ending. I mean, and honestly, I want to just kind of go back to something for a minute because I really want you to capture this. Miracles will happen. Miracles do happen. Miracle moments will come, but they're moments. Tabitha, boy, everybody, when you mention her, hey, tell us about Tabitha. Oh, she was raised from the dead. That was a moment. Her lifetime was spent doing good, caring for people. And it was the impact of her well-lived, doing good lifestyle that caused them to call for Peter in the first place. It caused them to come together and say, what a loss. What a loss. Why? Because she was the great power of God and these amazing miracles. No. What a loss. Because she could sew and she was kind and she was gracious and she was encouraging to people. She smiled at people. She loved on folks. She just went about doing, yeah. And how many of you get the sense that it's really not out of reach? It's not out of line. It's not out of reach. It's God's goal for our lives. We were created to do good works. It's the glory that God has set up for us. He has ordained that we see these things and we be able to walk in them. And we get to do that in the name and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want it to be said of us. I want someone to say to you, why would you care? Why is it that you've stopped to help me? Why are you the one who's here? And for you to have no other answer but that, well, I think the Lord loves you and it just looks like you need some help and I have a little strength here to be able to try to help you out. I just want to do good to help you in Jesus' name. Amen. I think this is what he's called us to. There's one more scripture that I want to read to you as we kind of close this up. It's in Titus chapter 2. I know your bedtime reading is Titus for most of you, so. No. But here's what it says in verse 14, because Paul understood this and he trained people to understand this, ministers, that young ministers that he would train up, like Titus. He's speaking about Jesus Christ, that we're looking for the Son of God and His coming. We're looking for the Lord in everything that we do. And in verse 14 of chapter 2 of Titus, he says that it is Jesus who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to Himself a peculiar people, a marked people, a set-apart people. And what sets them apart is that they're zealous of good works. They don't grumble their way in. Oh, if I got to, I guess I will. They're not. They're zealous of good works. They're fired up about it. They're looking for opportunities. They are the players on the stage that God has set. And they're just waiting for the cues to step up in the name of Jesus and do what? Amazing, miraculous greatness. No, no, no. Just good. Just good. Just good. Jesus did it. He went about doing good. And in that doing good, sometimes he was able to bring healing to those who were oppressed of the devil. Because sometimes that's the good that also needs to be done that glorifies God. But I don't think we have to think very hard. I just think we have to just say to ourselves today, okay, I want to reset. I want to reboot, if you will, in electronic terms. I want to kind of set my mind and my heart to not just the great and the grand and glorious, but I want to sort of set my heart and soul on the good that God intends for me to do in the name of Jesus. And I want God to help me, open my eyes to help me see, open my ears to help me hear, open my heart to care, to be that person who's willing to be full of the good works of God in any and every situation. And I believe that He will do that, and it will be maybe someday said of us, those people, you know, how do you describe them? Ooh, they're peculiar. Ooh, they're odd people. What makes them odd and peculiar? They just care about everybody. They just give you their shirt off their back. They just do good stuff. It's almost annoying they're so kind. Amen. God, make us that. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that You will, in fact, help us. Lord, we are, as Pastor Steve said so well, we're not dead. We are still drawing breath. We still have opportunity. And You've been so good to us. And we understand that a part of the fruit of Your Spirit working in us is goodness. It's goodness. It's just that simple character, calling, love of God that moves inside of our hearts, that moved inside of a Mother Teresa, that moved inside of a Tabitha, that moved in Jesus, that moves in us today. And we just pray, oh God, please help us. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our spirit's eyes to not despise good and to not lower the standard for what good is, but to raise it up and understand that doing good is available to us every single day. And so help us in Jesus' precious name, we pray. And everybody said, amen.